Okay, we are on to approval of the agenda. Is that Sarah walking in?
It is.
I can call for it, Sue?
Mm-hmm.
You don't get this motion, Sarah. Ha! Is there a board member who would like to, can I call for the motion of approval of the agenda? I probably said it all wrong. Here's yours.
No, you're fine.
Okay, Jay seconded it. Approve agenda as written. Motion made by Jay and seconded by?
Nicole. I'll second.
Nicole, great. Oh, I said it wrong because usually Sarah
says.
That's
okay.
I'm sorry, guys.
You did great.
I'm really sorry.
Okay. Do you have to call roll or anything?
Nope.
No? Okay. Sarah's here now. So.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. On to correspondence.
You have none.
You have
none.
Okay. Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Comments from the audience related to agenda items? Hearing none, we'll move on to comments from board members. I apologize profusely for being late. no more comments? Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Looks like we might have an amendment to the consent agenda. Oh, okay. When did we get that? Sorry. Today? It just wasn't put on. I'll make a motion to amend the consent agenda, specifically the personal action report, by adding Gus Pennington as our fifth grade teacher. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Do we have any discussion for making that amendment? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Our amendment to the consent agenda passes. Now I'll make a motion to approve the amended consent agenda. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Nicole. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor? Excuse me.
Yeah.
Please call the roll. Mara, that's right.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to administrative reports. We'll start with superintendent report. Colt Painter.
Okay. Well, welcome to our last meeting of the school year, and thank you all for your hard work this year and for being an amazing and supportive school board. We are wrapping up the school year. We are still doing some hiring. We are still looking for a secondary math teacher. So everything else is filled, and as you added Gus Pennington to the list, so we are full at the elementary and at the middle school, and we are still looking for a math teacher. So doing that. As you can see when you walked in, there's lots of custodial projects going on. The guys are super busy already and just jumping into cleaning and fixing things that needed to be fixed and lots of painting. And they're very, very busy this summer. There will be lots of things that people will notice around the schools when they're done. Working on lots of grants, clearing up things, doing final quarter reports this year, lots of work that's going on in the finance office with Karen and Shannon, the dynamic duo over here. Finishing those up, also working on some new grants. We had talked about the pre-elementary grant. We did receive some funding for that, not the full amount, but an amount that will help for the upcoming school year. Looking forward to that. That will help provide some support with our preschool. We're still engaged with the RTI MTSS grant. That's going into next year. Still some travel coming up in July for that team. And then there's continued support for the district team throughout next school year. The ELA grant also has another year of funding, and that will be to provide professional development and support for the new core curriculum that's been purchased this spring with the grant. And then I am working with ASDN and ACSA on a possible teacher and school leader incentive program grant, which is a three-year grant. So we're working to do some, it's a fast timeline, very short timeline. Like, they got a hold of me a week and a half ago. They're looking at four different districts in the state to participate in it. And they are doing the bulk of the writing, which has to be done by next Wednesday, the 28th. So they have a pretty tight timeline. So, but some pretty exciting, I've talked to a couple other districts that participated in the last round of funding, and they were able to get a lot of really good professional development. So I think it's worth pursuing, and it will help support what's already going on with our other grants, with RTI, refresh and also with the READS Act. So looking forward to that. Making plans for the safety summit is coming back again. I think, Sarah, did you go 1 year pre-COVID?
Yes.
You went as
a board
member.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
And we may want to have a board member go. We can take 6 people. So it's in September 13th and 14th is the date. I think it's travel on a Monday, conference on a Tuesday, Wednesday. Anyway, maybe worth just considering. I can send information, but they do encourage having a school board member go if they're available. So we can get you more information about that as it comes up. And that's it for me.
Look at Katie, since she's on crisis.
Yeah.
Nicole is on. No, you're on wellness with me. Wellness. Not
I know, but I didn't get to attend that meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was. That would be a good. I mean, it's of course during the work week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So not always helpful, but.
No.
I will keep it on my radar.
Yeah. Well, I'll send you some more information. You guys can look at it.
Any questions? Okay. We'll move on to committee reports, which probably is winding down if you had any meetings at all in the last month. So crisis, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Curriculum, we wrapped up already. Facilities. Policy, Carrie's not here, but probably didn't have time, would be my guess.
No,
as well as technology. Yeah. And wellness.
There was a meeting, but I wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was before the last meeting.
I think it was.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't here either.
Okay. All right. We'll move on. No old business. We'll move on to new business. We have a fiscal year 2023 budget revision. And I think our outgoing financial director is going to.
Come on up, Shannon Baird. Come on down.
You want to join in the fun? It's my pleasure to present the June budget revision, which I'll talk about some highlights. I'm not necessarily going to go over every line item here. So in December, the board approved the budget revision then of $8,583,666 for our new revenue. And this budget revision, we're proposing an increase of $101,628. For a new budget revenue of $8,685,294. The primary changes in this budget are increases to local revenue by $21,000. That's local facility use fees, gate receipts for home events. We actually received more money having home games this year, and an increase in our P-card rebate. So the school district puts the majority of our larger purchases on a credit card, and then we get a rebate at the end of the school year. The other funding source is an increase in state sources by $80,492, and that's because in the December budget revision, we had budgeted for 18 intensive special needs students. We actually came in at 19. They don't actually qualify or quantify or certify those numbers until the end of December. So that's the increase in state funding. In our expenditures, I'm happy to report we have a decrease of $250,218 for a new expenditure proposed budget of $9,191,906 from our December revision, which was $9,442,124. The majority of the decreases across all the expenditure functions have to do with conservative spending for supplies and materials. At the budget revision in December, we were kind of talking about tightening the belts, and I do applaud the principals and the directors of all the programs because they definitely did that and reduced their spending. We also had decreases in instruction and special education. From sub-budgets, it's prudent to put more into the budget than what you can anticipate because you never know if there's gonna be a long-term leave. And so our actual sub cost came in less than what we budgeted for, so that's another decrease. We also had a decrease in our special education budget. We received funds from the state of Alaska through a grant for special education that covers the majority of our itinerant services. That is our occupational therapy, our physical therapy, speech therapy, and psych services. And this last year, it actually came in short. We didn't have enough in the program to cover the cost, so the general fund picked that up. And then in January, we had an increase in funding, so we were able to preserve those funds. Of course, at the end of the year, cleanup and salaries and benefits, that's also a decrease. We do have an increase in district administration support. That's the finance department, and that's to accommodate the transition of me going out and Shannon coming in, as well as we did have an increase in auditing costs. That is always surprising each year. Small increase in our activities budget for other supplies that were not initially budgeted for. And I am proposing that we transfer $75,000 from our general fund into our pupil transportation fund. And that should help cover the cost of the actual contract for fiscal 24 and 25. Mm-hmm. Just to put context to the need for that, our contract cost for fiscal 23 is actually almost $34,000 more than what we received from the state of Alaska to provide pupil transportation. We always have to transfer some funds in. Well, we haven't always had to, but since 2007, we have to cover those. So with this proposed budget of revenue, $8,685,294, and expenditures of $9,191,906, our ending fund balance is actually 10.6% at $974,518. So that's kind of just the high-level overview. Very happy about it, and I would entertain any questions.
Great.
Thought you did a great job. I was just saying it.
Well, every admin meeting. Remember, we're tightening our belts.
And we do.
And they did.
Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'll make a motion to approve the fiscal year 2023 budget revision. If I can have a second.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded by Nicole. Do we have any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, Mara, can you call the roll?
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0. Next, we'll move on to the next fiscal year, 2024. Director of Finance, Karen Morrison, and our new director, Sharon Baird, will present the next. Shannon, what did I say?
Sharon.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I know you're Shannon.
I know you do.
This time I can wait
I'm gonna
for
argue
the motion.
Too much
should I wait for the motion?
Yes, actually, I'll make a motion to adopt the 2024 budget that will be presented. If I can have a second.
I'll second.
Motion has been made and seconded by Katie. Now we can have the presentation and discussion afterwards or during.
Sounds good. I think it's too hot in here, so my brain is not working the way right. Yes, this is Shannon.
Sorry.
Shannon.
You guys will all be in great hands with her. I'm very excited that she's come on board. Not my position, this position. So we can go ahead and you just go ahead and chime in whenever you feel the need. So the last few years, I've given a CARES Act overview, and so really, I just wanted to present this for perspective. I'm just going to really talk about the third wave of COVID funding, the ARP Act or the ESSER-3. That's the only little pool of money that's left. All the other ones have expired. They were supposed to be used by last fiscal year. So we received $543,920 in total from this wave of funding. In fiscal 22, we spent $194,000 of it. Bless you. In fiscal 23, so that's this current fiscal year, we are spending approximately $122,000. It's not, the end of these fiscal year is not quite here. We actually have a few little outstanding expenditures that we need to finish up by next week. So this is just an approximate spend, which would leave us with $227,179 approximately. Some of the factors, we had originally budgeted quite a bit more to use out of this budget, but then we kept getting emails about other funding sources. So there was an increase in our 1801 CDCP grant, and we were able to take the money that we had budgeted in the ESSER-3 for nurse and counseling services, we were able to move that over to this other grant that was actually expiring at the end of this year. So we leveraged some other funding sources, so we have a larger balance of this grant remaining to use next year.
And that will be helpful because we did utilize every bit and a little more of the nursing contract that we had with the medical center, which was extremely helpful, and then definitely utilized more of our mental health services through PMC, which I, again, would also advocate we're going to need every bit that we can put toward that moving forward as well. So.
Yeah, I can also, oh, go ahead.
When do we have to have that money spent by?
Next fiscal year, or so by June 30th, 2024.
Okay.
It can also be used for tutoring. It can be used for different support services for students. And so we will definitely work on leveraging those funds to make sure that needs are being met for addressing learning loss or professional development. One of the things we used some of the funds for this year was we used it towards CTE and got Dave Owens, he's a certified welding instructor. So now we can do that in-house. So it's pretty wide open as far as what you can spend it on, but then it's recommended that it's just a one-time purchase. So Erica and the admin team will figure out what they're going to spend it on and come back to you guys. So I always provide the enrollment trends. This year's fiscal 24's budget is based on 430 students, so we're actually keeping it flat with this current fiscal year. We could come in higher than that. I don't anticipate that we'll come in lower based on some of the information that we're receiving, but better to budget conservatively and be able to allocate additional funds as opposed to having to reduce budgets. Do you want?
No, I'm just 470 kids. It's like, wow. Actually, it's not that a lot.
So to provide an overview of this budget, projected revenue is $9,245,607. Again, it's based on 430 students. In this budget, as it's currently written, there is a reduction in foundation funding of almost $213,000 for fiscal 24. And that's a direct result of the end of the Hold Harmless provision. I know we've talked a lot about the Hold Harmless helping to not have the district fall off the cliff. Well, we're at the end of that now. So this is our cliff, is that $213,000. We are very appreciative of the support from the borough. They did approve the additional $1 million in funding for the school district. So their total local contribution is $3 million, and we're very fortunate for that. We will use approximately $611,000 of our fund balance in fiscal 24, which you'll see in another slide or two, what that actually looks like. We knew we were going to end up using some of our fund balance, and as we're going through this discussion, this does not include any funds from the state as of today, since yesterday was the, or 2 days ago, no, yesterday was the sign-off on the budget from the governor. So this is what we knew as of Friday last week. So this will change a little bit. So our expenditures, right now they're projected at $9,856,922. Some of the factors that impact the budget are increases in the certified salaries, which is very minimal at 1%. And increases for our classified salaries, again, minimal at 2%. Our health insurance premiums increased by approximately 5.5%, which is way below industry standards. So we're very happy about that. That's less than 10%. We do see a fairly large increase in our property insurance by 55%. And then a decrease in our liability insurance of 14%. Again, the property insurance is a national and local thing. It's not just related to the school district. So heating fuel budget is $420,000. That's an increase of $45,000 from the budget that you guys just passed. And just for perspective, again, we actually spent $300,000 in fiscal 22. So we are seeing large increases in heating fuel. Electricity, we've budgeted $320,000. That's an increase of $20,000 from the budget that you just passed for fiscal 23. And we actually spent $171,262. So that was for fiscal 22. That's almost double, not quite. But again, large increases in heating fuel and electricity, which is impacting what we can spend other funds on. PERS and TERS on behalf rates. PERS and TERS are required to be reported on the revenue side as well as the expenditure side. However, there's no transactions that go through the school district. There's no cash that happens, but it's a reporting requirement. And this year, the PERS on behalf rate is 3.1%, and the TERS is 12.96%. This budget does have reduced supply budgets district-wide, so teaching, technology, and maintenance, but they're not eliminated, they're just reduced. So it's nice to have a supply budget to start the school year out. And then as we get our true numbers come in, Shannon can do the revision and allocate more funds out. So. Current staffing, 43, and I see I have a typo in here, which I'll tell in a minute. 43 certified teachers, that includes our regular instruction teachers, our special education, our counselors, our librarians. Our special education director is actually no longer considered a teacher. She's now an exempt because she has an admin license. So she actually is counted down below. And our activities director. So 40 of these teachers are, and that 40 is correct as far as our certified teachers. 40 are funded through the general fund, and 3 are funded through special revenue sources. There's a typo in the ESSA, because it's ESEA, and the CARES Act. And then we have 9 exempts. That includes the superintendent, both of the principals, SPED director, technology director, finance director, district admin assistant, maintenance director, and food service director.
Erin, this, yes. 3 special revenue positions, when do those disappear from the funding?
So one will fall off after the ARP funds expire. The other two are positions that are already normally funded with Title I-A and Title I-C.
Okay, so yep. The funds will just pick up.
Yep, so okay. we will have a plan.
They will have a plan.
But we've anticipated this. This is not new information. Mm-hmm. We've already talked about the fact that this position that's funded from this will be a permanent position for the school district.
Okay.
So, yeah. That was a good question, though. So we have funded, we have 30 filled paraprofessional and positions and 6 vacancies in the district right now. So classroom aides, we have 18 of them, and that includes regular and special education instruction and tutoring support. So we have 18 filled and 3 vacancies. We have 1 technology assistant. We will have 3 secretaries next year. We have 5 custodial and maintenance staff, and we have 1 vacancy. We have 3 food service aides currently funded. They're actually not funded in the general fund. They have their own funding source, so it's not in the general fund. And there's currently 2 vacancies in the food service program. So 26 of these positions that are currently filled are from the general fund. We do pay for 1 paraprofessional out of the ESEA grant, and then 3 food service are funded in their own food service fund, their enterprise fund. Okay. Here's a summary of the proposed budget. So we're starting our fund balance at $974,518, as was just presented on the fiscal 23 budget revision. And we have revenue of $9,245,607. And that is made up by the $3 million from the city, the borough, $700 earnings on investments. Not much to woo-hoo about. $116,000 for other local revenues. Local revenues is made up of student fees, activity fees, facility use, gate receipts, and the P cards is also in there, and a few other little small grants that we receive. We're going to receive $93,134 from E-Rate program. That's a federal program that John and I have applied for that helps offset the cost of our internet, which is fairly expensive. So we're always happy to apply for this grant and receive it. And then $6,035,773, that's coming from the state, and that is the foundation funding, the PERS and TERS on behalf, and then there's some other small little pots of money that comes from the state as well. So total revenue, projected revenue, $9,245,607. When we look at expenditures, total expenditures, we're proposing $9,856,922, and that's made up of regular instruction of $3,957,936, special education budget $1,491,589, support services students, this is our counseling budget, and that's at $314,202. Support services instruction, that's library and technology budget, and that's $823,092. School administration, that's our principal budgets, that is $306,501. School administration support services are the secretary's budgets, that is $263,044. District administration, this includes the superintendent as well as the Board of Education budget, that's $400,604. District administration support services, that's the finance office budget, that's $277,965. And operations and maintenance of our facility is $1,607,120. And student activities is $414,869 for total proposed expenditures of $9,856,922, which leaves us with an ending fund balance of $363,203, which is way better than the consideration that I presented in May of $26,000. So, and again, this does not include the additional funding from the state. And so the original budget for the state was an increase of $680 per student. It's actually ADM, average daily membership, run through a very complicated formula. So it's not a flat 430 times 680. It's calculated out with foundation formula. It has been vetoed, and what has been approved and signed off is an increase of $380 per ADM, which for our district at 430 students would be an increase of approximately 450.
Where does that funding go then?
Well, when Shannon does the revision, she'll put it under the state sources, and there will be probably discussions, at least at the admin meeting, do we want to allocate it out or do we want to just leave it in the fund balance? So.
And like Karen had said earlier, they have a reduced budget on like supplies and materials from mm-hmm. last year, so they'll probably be able to allocate some of that out at like a December revision and you know what admin has planned.
And this also doesn't take into account any of the other funding sources that we were talking about earlier, some of those grants and things too that may end up offsetting some things, and then that just puts us back at a more
healthy
fund balance that we all like mm-hmm. here. So so it gives us a little bit of breathing room, and it's important that we really did not try to base a budget based on what we thought it might be, which, you know, we talked a little bit about in May that some districts have done that, and that's a dangerous move. We could live on this, and we don't want to live on this, but we could live on this if we had to. And at this point, what the governor has signed off on is 380. So that's what we
So that gives our fund balance in the more in the
More like 800.
More like
800,000.
8%, I think, mm-hmm. is what you were saying on here.
Honestly, this is a much better scenario than what I had January predicted.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm really thrilled with it.
We are.
Because,
just hope for a mild winter again.
Mm-hmm. Because there's historically, we present the budget based on whatever revenue we have. And this
mm-hmm.
this budget has been, the process has been very different. Rather than just looking at slashing programs and looking at reducing staffing because we don't have the funds, we actually went and advocated at the borough, and they were gracious, and they're supporting us, which is also a huge win as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so this budget is a solid budget.
Mm-hmm.
This, I would almost say, could be considered a December revision. Like, I feel really good about it. There is enough in the budget where we're not going to worry for the first few months, do we have enough in teaching supplies? Do we have enough in sub-costs? There is enough to cover those things. And then I feel like right now there's a lot of different funding sources coming in as well, especially in professional development. So we would probably try to leverage those funds as well. There's not a lot of professional development built in here because every year we get a small rural schools achievement grant, and that's usually what we put our professional development in. But we've received additional funding from the state this year for the Science of Reading Symposium and the RTI. We didn't have to cover any of that in our grant that we have or in the operating budget. So.
And then I was reading the governor's recap or the recap of his decisions, and it just said additional funding for the READS Act. And does that contemplate into that $400,000 that he approved? Or because there was no dollar figure attached to it.
Original $30
attachment.
And then I think he would say that also just the $380.
Okay. Encompasses that. Okay.
It's
not something separate.
$30.
I think they have allocated some money through DEED specifically related to some of the training and things that are going to come. So there are things that might come, you know, like they may end up doing a little bit more funding of things maybe for the Science of Reading Symposium or, you know, things like that come along because they know those are valuable. It's just that would be an intelligent place to put some of that money. So I think they've also allocated some funding that way through DEED to come to the districts. And I would say we are seeing a little more, I mean, just even today looking at like the safety summit, you know, there's different, I think there's a little bit more partnership going on between like CERC, you know, the agency that we do our
mm-hmm.
psych and speech mm-hmm. and all that. You know, they have a partnership with DEED on safety planning, and like our district is in that grant. But so that we just got notified that we'll receive some funding for travel, you know, for that. So, I mean, it's all these little pieces, which unfortunately do also take a lot of time to manage. So every one of these grants that we're talking about, while wonderful, is also one more path. Like if we get this other huge teaching and learning grant, that is a massive undertaking. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think I would agree. I think this is the year we finally said we have kind of gone as far as we can go. We are wearing too many hats. I mean, it's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about this like one person. We have to look at these things. We there's only so much capacity and time for people. I can only manage so many grants and so much HR and so much whatever and whatever. You know, it's the same kind of thing we've been talking about. So we may have to look at that, and we may have to have somebody that does a little bit more management of that, positions that we did used to have in the district.
Okay.
If we're bringing in, you know, another $500,000, I mean, you know, that it doesn't, it all takes time.
Well, and if our student enrollment numbers go
mm-hmm.
up, then you've got that additional allocation that you can use for.
And that adjustment or final count happens in October?
Yes.
Okay.
At the end of October, can kind of usually get the numbers certified or at least somewhat solid by December. However, their foundation formula guru, who's been there for 30 years, has just retired. So I don't know if it's going to be quite as fast as previously. So, okay. So the next slide is just the pie chart of our revenues. 65% of it comes from the state sources, which includes the foundation formula. And the piece of the pie for the borough has increased quite a bit. I mean, historically, it's been 8 to 10%, but now they're up to 33%. And then you can see the small little other revenue sources. And then this is our expenditures by function. So function is what we do in the district. So you can see our largest piece of the pie is regular instruction at 40%. Historically, special education has actually been the second largest piece of the pie. But operations and maintenance, which I have another typo in there, my apologies, is 16%. So that's a little unfortunate that it's exceeded special education, but that's due directly from the heating fuel and the electrical costs. And then the next biggest program is special education at 15%. And then 9% is support services and instruction. That is library technology. And then all of the other functions in the district are 3 or 4%. So our admin is fairly small as well. Then the last pie chart is expenditures by object. So this is kind of nice to look at to see, well, what are we spending on professional services or travel? And we're still spending 79% of our budget on salaries and benefits, which is pretty typical. I think prior it was maybe 82%, but I really think that energy, that 8% for energy has really skewed the pie chart a bit. Mm-hmm. And then supplies and materials, you can see it's a healthy budget, but that does include our laptop refresh and maintenance and technology. So that's 4% of the pie. So everything else is 2 or 1%.
What's the difference between utility services and energy?
So energy is literally just heating fuel and okay. electrical. Utility services, water and sewer, okay. garbage. It's also communications. So it's okay. It's function or it's object 430. So okay. everything else gets lumped together in there. Any questions? Mm-hmm.
$1 million just at the
yeah.
utilities.
Mm-hmm.
There's that $1 million we just got. Thank you. Any questions,
Thank
comments?
You.
Well done, ladies. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you. Okay, motion's been made and seconded to accept the fiscal year 2024 budget. Mara, could you please call the roll?
Sarah Holmgreen?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Katie Holman?
Yes.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0. Next, we'll move on to 13.3, which is Bill Newman donation through the Petersburg Community Foundation grant. This item is to accept the second Bill Newman donation via the Petersburg Community Foundation. This donation was gifted to the special education program. The district had planned for a large project that will benefit many. An awning will be installed above the ramp from the cafeteria. That would be the elementary school, to the primary playground. A heated pathway will be created from the end of the ramp to the playground, which will allow access for many students, no matter the weather. With any funds remaining, the department will purchase an ADA equipment for the preschool classroom. I will make a motion to accept the donation and the project plan. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Nicole. Any discussion? Questions? Sounds like we might not get it this summer, just
Well,
if it passes just because
still,
of busy
yeah,
contractors.
Working on that with contractors, but hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to accept the donation and the projected plan. Mara, could you please call the roll?
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgreen?
Yes.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Katie Holman?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes 4-0. Next, we'll move on to 13.4, which is our fiscal year ESEA. Consolidated grant. Section 14302 of the Elementary and Secondary Act, as reauthorized by the Every Student Succeeds Act, permits a district to obtain specific federal program funds through a single consolidated plan rather than through separate funding applications or plans. This item is to approve the estimated revenue and budgeted items within that consolidated plan. So I'll make a motion to approve fiscal year 2024 consolidated plan for the Petersburg School District for Title I, Part A in the amount of $126,224 and for Title 1C in the amount of $190,974. Could I have a second?
I'll
Seconded.
Motion's been made and seconded by Jay. Any comments or questions?
Provide any information on it, or?
Go ahead.
If you have any questions, but basically, essentially, this is, the Title I is focused primarily on the elementary school. It's a federal program designed to support students. The funding is essentially based on students who are identifying students who are economically disadvantaged. So, it's providing, we have a school-wide plan in the elementary school, so we're able to spread the funds around in the school for staffing, and we don't have to, you know, say, well, you can receive services and you can't, you know, kind of a thing. So, it's school-wide, and the money for Title I is really at the elementary school. That's where it's been targeted over the years. And then Title I-C is migrant education. And so that, again, some of those funds have been consolidated at the elementary level to be able to be used more widely across the elementary. And then it's more of a targeted program for the secondary, at the secondary level for students. And that can be for programs that have happened, you know, the Coast Guard radio training, cold water safety, things that might be more appropriate for students that might be out on a fishing boat and that can support them in their learning or when they are absent. One of the other things about it, and it's kind of mentioned at some point during the report there, but there are other title funds. There's Title IIA and there's Title IVA, and those, the reason that we don't have a whole separate plan for each one of those, that we've actually reaped those, it's called, like, combining them. You can combine those into, like, Title I, and I think that's where we end up reaping both, is into Title I. And because they're such small pots of money, like one of them is usually like $10,000 or $12,000, and one of them is like $23,000. And they just, every one of those $10,000 pot takes the same amount of paperwork that the $120,000 pot takes. So essentially, that's, to be blunt, that's the reason that we move them. And there's flexibility to use them in the way that we want. So if we want to use it toward supporting professional development or supporting staffing, we can still use the funds the way they should be used. We just don't have to do reporting for four separate pots of money. We can move those two smaller pots into the Title I and, you know, essentially
report one.
Do something more productive with the money. So if there's any questions about that, that's what we are doing with it. The Title I program supports services and staffing in the elementary. And Title I-C helps to support the coordinator and recruiter, helps with some reading support, and helps, there's some counseling costs that have been used, individual students. We've used it to send kids up to travel to Avtec or UAA, check out programs up there, and supplies, class fees, they'll pay for different career technical fees for students as well. Definitely, we've done a better job of expanding, I think, services to students over the years. Mara's become our new parent advisory coordinator, contact recruiter. So that's sent her to some training. And of course, Karen and now Shannon working on the finance side. And then Carly Johnson McIntosh does a lot of work with it as well because it's beneficial to her program to have every student that can be identified. It helps her food service program as well. She receives students can eat for free if they.
Well, migrant students, we've talked a little bit. I'm just going to butt in, sorry.
That's okay.
We talked a little bit about the CEP and how the community eligibility program and how the middle school and the high school both qualify for that because the population has more than, I believe that it's 50%, more than 50% qualify in some way, either through direct certification because someone in their family is qualified for SNAP or child care assistance or free reduced lunch. Migrant and migrant families, if they are qualified under that federal program, they get added into that total as well. So if your children are, you know, spending time out with you going and doing subsistence fishing to fill your freezer, like if you rely on that, on that fish, or if they are going out with a family member that's doing commercial fishing for income for your family, talk to somebody, talk to one of us at the school and see if we can get you qualified. Because it benefits them individually, but it really benefits school-wide.
Yeah, it would be nice to have that community eligibility provision K-12 because, like we know this year after going through COVID and having that not be an issue for families, and then being back again to trying to track down people for paperwork. And of course, unfortunately, it's the elementary that didn't qualify for it. And so it's your youngest, you know, anyway, kids don't go hungry here. That never happens. So we will say that out loud. But also, it's just, one more piece of paperwork that's time-consuming when we just know what needs to happen and we just need to be feeding kids. That paperwork. So, yes, call Mara. Give you all the deets. Okay.
Good. Any other questions or comments? Okay, motion's been made and seconded to approve the fiscal year 2024 consolidated plan for the Petersburg School District for Title I as well as Title I-C. Mark, could you please call the roll?
Yep. Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Next, we'll move on to 13.5, which is our Racy Stedman School Improvement Plan. So in early February, Racy Stedman Elementary received a targeted support designation under Alaska's accountability system, which is called System for School Success, for the next 3 years based on a subgroup, academics performance. The school improvement plan is part of the state's designation process, and this plan was developed by a committee of administrators, teachers, staff members, and parents over the course of months. The team gathered data, analyzed it, and created the school improvement plan based on their findings. So I'll make a motion to approve the school improvement plan that we will see presented. I have a second.
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Nicole, and we have a short one.
Yeah,
kind of abbreviated from, we did have our
yes.
I'll just at least say publicly, I said it earlier today too on Campus Connections, but a few of us were able to attend a really good work session where Principal Kahn led it and kind of went through the process that they went through and their findings and then how they developed everything. So it was pretty informative.
Yeah.
But hit the highlights tonight.
Yeah, we'll do that. And so essentially, for people out there in Radio Land, if you want to read through the documents attached to the board agenda, you can read every agenda, every set of notes. And I really do mean that it's long, but I mean there's a lot of data to look at, and there's a lot of good summaries of the conversations that happened around looking at the different pieces of data. And that's so not just student achievement data or student test data, but all kinds of data related to attendance rates and how many kids are enrolled in English language as an English language learner, how many kids, just all kinds of data around demographics and socioeconomic status and all kinds of things. And then you can see, then you go through and you find all these different key learnings from each one of the activities. We were able to work with a small contract through, because we received $10,000 for planning through DEED. And we were able to have a small contract with a person who helped keep us on the right track with what we needed to do. So making sure we were on track. Molly Harings was her name, and we are going to continue to work with her next year with the school improvement process for the next 2 years. We'll keep a small contract with her so that she can keep us on track with meetings, and she knows just what she's doing. She's done it with lots of districts, so she was super helpful. At the end of this, what we ended up with was coming through with the school improvement plan, and it was it was a bit of a frustrating process, I would say, to get through, what are the goals, and then what are the strategies, and then what are the milestones, and what are the differences between those things. And essentially, where the team landed, and for your consideration and approval, the team ended up determining two primary goals. The first goal was to look at all students will have access to systematic and consistent reading interventions based on their academic needs. Obviously, that's a huge goal. Breaking it down into specific strategies of how to do that, talking about having a structured literacy program, looking at the schedule, all of that, and then each year having certain milestones. So milestones for year one, milestones for year two, and year three. So that's how it all made sense once we got through it all. So there was the main primary goal, and then the second goal was actually, and this was based on, again, feedback also, public feedback and community feedback and parent feedback. And one of the goals that rose to the top was having students having opportunities to interact with community members. And that created not necessarily just going out, but actually how do we really engage people in our school in a meaningful way? So looking at the environment itself, creating opportunities that are authentic, how do we do that? And so that's what then the next strategies and milestones for the school improvement plan based around that second goal. And that's it. It's not that's it, but you can see there's another you know, 17 pages worth of milestones and strategies underneath that. But it is nice to have it broken down. You can see by targets and baselines and, you know, using data in very specific ways so that you can see how things are going. But that can also be things like you see in front of you, how many people sign in on the volunteer sign-in sheet? You know, how many people are coming into the school? And do we have good representation of people? And is it an open and welcoming place? Do we have lots of people that come to one classroom and not another? You know, what kinds of ways are people being utilized to be collaborative and support our students? So, yeah. I would say that's a high-level overview.
Great. Okay. Any questions or comments? Okay. Hearing none, the motion is to approve the school improvement plan as presented. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Next, we have 13.6 is our exempt contract edition. So this item is the creation of the Education Technology Director exempt position contract. The current Education Technology Director has been on a teacher contract and schedule with additional days added to the contract to cover actual duties. This change makes accounting clearer and the contract will reflect actual duties and days worked. The district is recommending putting the Education Technology Director on exempt year-round contract. I'll make a motion to approve the exempt contract, the Education Technology Director, John Cliff Painter. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Katie. Any discussion? This, to me, makes sense just because we have other directors that are exempt as well. Mm-hmm. It's just more of a department head, even if it's a small department. So mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody else has any concerns. Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, hearing none. Mara, could you please call the roll? Yeah.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Next, we'll have any additional comments from board members? Hearing none, we've got some upcoming dates and media announcements. It sounds like we don't have much, but the next school year calendar is on, as well as the activities calendar already up on the website. So take a look at it. Before we know it, August will be here. Any future agenda items? It would be all the way into August, possibly our handbooks. Mm-hmm. If there are any changes to that, just to review them. Trying to think if there's anything
else.
Did
we want to discuss also
moving the date?
Yeah, the date.
Oh, yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
To the 5th.
That would be the third Tuesday.
Yeah, third
okay.
Tuesday instead.
Okay, so everybody's okay, at least the four of us are. We'll have to check with Gary, but August 15th, you said?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other new business? Okay, hearing none, I'll make a motion to adjourn. Got a second?
I'll second it.
Katie, second. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Good night.